Amen. Testing, yes, praise the Lord. Last few words we sang. Finish then thy new creation. Pure, unspotted, let us be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. It's blessed to be here this morning already, and many different thoughts. Brother John, a thought that he shared there in 2 John, verse 8, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And that indicates that we can lose those things that we have wrought for, and that they do slip away. And I was thinking, too, of iron sharpeneth iron. You know, a plow or a disc or a harrow, whatever, when you plow the field and you go through that rough, hard, rocky soil, what happens to the blade, Floyd? It wears and it gets shiny and it sharpens, correct? It gets sharp. And if that thing would sit up out of the ground and never go anywhere, it wouldn't get real sharp. You know what I mean? And I think that's what we're here for, as brothers and sisters, to examine and to, not examine, but to encourage and sharpen each other, that we don't lose the reward that we have wrought for. Because there's many things that God has done for us in our midst. And let's be careful that they don't slip away. Because we can see it. There's evidence all over around us. Many people begin on the way, but they are offended and they go away from the way. And so I would like to have you turn to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we'll be reading from this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Thank you. As I consider with Rachel May there, and that is just every time we get a text or we hear about it, you know, it's just like you almost have to stop for a minute and think, because that's my age, that's our age, many of us, you know. And we simply are not promised tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I was thinking of Joseph. He was talking about Joseph here. And something I've been reading about Joseph, not right now, but in the past couple weeks, I have read some about him. And numerous times in the scriptures there, he said, the Bible says that Joseph behaved himself wisely, or more wisely than many, whatever. And God's spirit was in him. And it indicates that he lived a life that was above reproach. I believe so. And is that possible in this day? I believe it is. So let's press on. Matthew chapter 7. I was thinking as I was preparing this little message here, I thought, you know, I get done and it's a bunch of writing on a piece of paper and, you know, but I thought it's kind of like seed. The other night we went out in the garden, we planted seeds, and, you know, unless the Spirit giveth life to words that are spoken, they are just words. So please pray for me. Why don't we pray right now? How about that? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just do come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, it's a good, probably a good chance, a very good chance that we'll never gather in this way again exactly. Lord, those that are here, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for being with us, helping us, Lord, and guiding us on our way. Lord, help us. As it seems, the enemy is on all sides trying to oppress us as we go. I pray you give us strength, give us wisdom and courage, Lord, that our hearts could be turned towards you. I just pray you'd minister now to my heart first, Lord, and to all of us, Lord, that you would just speak to us. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to be strengthened. And Lord, help us to be willing to take your word as it says. So Lord, we bless you and praise you in the precious name of Jesus today. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 will be where we'll be talking mostly out of, but the rest of the chapter as well. I think I'd like to read Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, and we'll read it to the end. And my heart is to encourage us this today, and just encourage us on the way, because we do need encouragement, I think, because as time goes on, it seems like wickedness and evil abound, and there is an ever strengthening pressure against God's people, trying to deter them from the way. The way is narrow. The way is straight. Let's remain on there, and that's my encouragement for all of us. And I want to do that, and for myself. And again, I want to share this message as a way of encouragement to the believer. If you are on the way, if you're on that narrow way, you know, keep going, brother. Don't turn back. And don't be distracted. And also, it's an encouragement for those in here that are maybe younger, and you haven't gotten on that way. Maybe you're not born again this morning. There's still time. There's still time to get on the way. Because there is only one way. That's truth. Let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. We'll read it to the end. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a fool, and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I'll stop right there. You know, it's interesting. I don't want to get off track here, but Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And it's interesting that people that have done the works of God, the good things of God, something was wrong that he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Something was wrong. Even though they did good things, something was wrong. So those people, was they on the narrow way or the broad way? What do you think, James? Okay. Oftentimes, that's our thought. And today, the question, you know, these words are very clear. These words in the scriptures are in red in our Bibles. They're some of the most clear-cut. Jesus' words all were, but they were clear-cut and to the point. Today we live in a day, oh, we'll just stop for a minute. There's two ways. There is, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. That's one way. There's one way and there's another way. There's not three ways. And I saw something the other evening, a group of people singing, and they got done singing the song, and I asked my wife, I said, is that the broad way or the narrow way? Because there was some good, but in their singing, and it was, quote, a cappella, but in their singing, one of the guys was doing percussion, like drum sounds, with his mouth. I never heard it before. Very interesting. I just don't know where to put it all. But the question, you know, there's some truth and there's some, and I just don't see that in the scriptures. I want to be open for correction. The day in which we live is desperately calling for the people, the churches, families, and even youth and children to be a called out people who have chosen a distinctly different way. There shouldn't be a question. There shouldn't be a question. I believe when God's people are seen, they should be seen. It should be clearly seen. They that do the will of the Father, it's those people. They have chosen a distinctly different way from the vast majority of this people in this world who are walking, okay, and they're walking humbly and honestly before God, and they're not afraid to be different than the rest. I want to encourage us this morning that we wouldn't be afraid to be different than the rest in lifestyle, conduct, attire, and the list could go on and on. Because these are on the straight and narrow way. They have forsaken the broad way. And Brother Henry Klassen was here the other night, and he talked about peer pressure. Is this thing fading, Matt? It sounds like it's... Is it fading in and out, someone? It's not the sound guy's fault. I'll keep talking. If it gets bad, Matt, you just need to bring me another mic. But peer pressure is real, and I think it's even real for older people, not just young people. There's a pressure. When the majority is going one way, it's really hard to go another direction. And I've told my wife, and I believe this to be true, I could stand correction. Anytime that something's happening or people are doing this or that, if a ton and a majority of people are flocking to it, I think we need to wait. I think we need to be careful. Because the majority will not go after the truth, I don't believe. By the way, we'll call this message, Enter Ye In at the Straight Gate. Luke 13, verse 24 says, Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able to. And it's interesting, in verse 13, it's like, Enter ye in at the straight gate, then there's a colon. It's like, there's an invitation there saying, Enter ye in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. It's not the will of God that we go on that route. Many of us have. You know, we've taken that road that was not according to God's will, but by the mercy and grace of God, He has delivered us and set us on that straight and narrow way. I just said that, I wrote here, the first portion of the verse is a beautiful invitation to enter in. And in our natural state, we tend to go the wrong way, the broad way. But there is an interception here to try and point us and lead us to the narrow way, thus saving us many sorrows and much pain. Luke 13:24 says, strive to enter in. There's something happens there at that gate. Okay, the rest of it we're going to talk about verses 13 and 14. Kind of dissect those verses. By the way, I didn't know for sure how I should go through this, because 13 and 14, there's two ways. There's two trees, two different kinds of fruit. There's two different people, two different destinies, and two different builders in these verses here. There could be so much said here, but we're going to talk about the two ways. Okay, listen the comparisons. If you can listen and look in your Bible, verses 13 and 14. Okay, verse 13 says, wide is the gate. 14 says, straight is the gate. Verse 13 says, broad is the way. Verse 14 says, narrow is the way. Verse 13 says, leadeth to destruction. Verse 14 says, leadeth unto life. Verse 13 says, many that be, that go in. Verse 14 says, few there be that find it. There's like opposites in those two verses right there. And there is no middle verse. There is no middle verse between there. It's as clear as it can be. There are only two ways in these verses, in the Bible. Throughout the history of God's people, there has always been only two ways. And we live, I think, it seems like as we, in my young Christian life, it seems like as time goes on, the times are more deceiving because the line between believers and unbelievers, or the distinction rather, it becomes very foggy. It becomes very foggy. And I always think of that line that Dale Gish wrote a poem. It says, deception, the slow, subtle mist that sets in, that fogs out the line that defines what is sin. It's deception. That's what it is. Okay, and I've broken it down to basically, you know, we'll talk about wide is the gate, straight is the gate, broad is the way, narrow is the way, leadeth to destruction, leadeth unto life. Many that be that go in, and few that be that go in. And it, you know, that invitation there at the very beginning, enter ye in at the straight gate. Jesus said, come unto me. In Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And, you know, I believe that's for us as believers on the way as well. We have a master. John talked about our master that's beckoning us to come. Keep coming, brother. Though the way may be challenging, we were not promised. At the gate, there was no promise of comfort and great times and all that. In fact, it's much the opposite for the believer. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity of in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Exodus 22 or 32, verses 26. Again, you don't have to turn to these. If you don't, I have them on a paper here. So this is where, this is an interesting thing. You know, what happened there in Exodus 32, Moses came down from the mountain. And in that time, he was up in the mountain, I think 40 days, whatever. And he came down. In the meantime, Aaron took and made a golden calf, and the people were all worshiping it. And Moses came down, and it says he was wroth. The meekest man on earth, the Bible says, was wroth. And he come there, and he stood at the gate of the camp, and he says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. In other words, it was clear that day. Moses made a distinction. Who was on the Lord's side? Okay, I'd like to read a quote. I do appreciate Matthew Henry. There's some quotes that I don't read a lot of him, but I have two quotes today that I'd like to read from him, one right now. It says, concerning verses 13 and 14, the account that is given of the bad way of sin and the good way of holiness. There are but two ways, right and wrong, good and evil, the way to heaven, the way to hell. In the one of which we are all of us walking. Note that a little bit. We're all on one of those roads. No middle place hereafter. No middle way now. The distinction of the children of men into saints and sinners, godly and ungodly, will swallow up all eternity. In other words, it will be there. It's not going to change. There's only two ways. And I wrote here, sometimes I get ahead of myself, but I wrote, the point is that there is no third way. There has always been only two, and there will always be just two. From clear back to Cain and Abel to Noah and his day, the righteous and the unrighteous have been two distinct peoples. And in their lives, the way they lived, the way their conduct, it was distinct. And my heart is that, beginning at myself, that we would be, Brother John preached last Sunday or whenever it was about, that we are a peculiar people, a holy nation, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That should be seen. It should be seen. Okay. We'll go into those comparisons now. We'll talk about wide is the gate first, and then straight is the gate. That's kind of one. And I start writing here. Sometimes I sit down and I write and I think, Lord, guide my pen. I don't know. And it seems you start writing and soon you can have a whole paper filled up and it's like you have almost too much. But we'll see. Wide is the gate. The gate being wide doth imply many such things, such as it is wide open. It is inviting to all. There is no cost to enter in. To go in is propelling as the majority is going. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. There is no judgment or condition. All are welcome. The way, as far as we can see, appears smooth and well-traveled. This is the wide gate entrance. And be sure that the real end is out of sight. It's never seen. I'll say this now. I may repeat it later. But if the terrors of hell were shown to the people at the beginning of the road, many would not go. But it's deceived. We can't see it because it's fun. And I've been there, you know. All the things that are appealing, they're not. The end is death. The narrow way, the gate is straight. Definition of straight. It says strict, rigorous, difficult, distressful, a narrow passage, a pass or passage either in a mountain or in an ocean between two bodies of land, such as the Straits of Gibraltar or Magellan. The point being that something must happen at the entrance of this gate. And I'd be open for some discussion, whatever. What is the gate? What is the gate? If somebody has an idea, they can raise their hand. Matthew 16:24, it says, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. At the entrance of the gate, there are things that must be left behind and forsaken. And I put parentheses as sin. At this gate, there is a cost to enter. There is a cost. Remember, the wide gate, there's no cost. It looks fun, at least externally, but give it some time and it'll be destructive. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you would go. Just one drink. You know, this brother that was here, that was in jail, last Sunday, spent some time in prison, you know, that alcohol. I remember when I was 16 and going around all that, and it seemed like, well, one drink is okay, you know, but it never stays there. It will never, never stay there. One drug, one joint or something like, it never stays there. There's a cost at the narrow gate. It's not easy to enter in. The way, as far as we can see on the narrow way, is uphill and not very smooth. It's not very smooth. The reports we may hear from those who've went ahead, it's a hard road. It's a hard road. But there's still a sweet invitation to enter in. But there are things required of us. Our old passions, our carnal nature, worldly appetites must be left behind. The admittance is not free. It costs you everything. Jesus said, "Come unto me, for my yoke is easy." And I noted in there that Jesus, keep in mind, it is a yoke. It's a yoke. You know, when something's yoked together, it's not like Jesus is over here and you're yoked together, you're walking with him. Jesus said, "Come unto me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I was thinking of the narrow entrance, and I might make this, I don't know. I don't want to make the narrow way too narrow, and I don't want to make the broad way too wide. But I don't know if we can do that. I don't think we can. I'd like to talk about that narrow way just a little bit. For some reason, this is my mind. I open my mind to you. When I start thinking about something, whatever it may be, I start thinking about it, and I think about it for a couple of days, and I look into it. And for some reason, I was thinking about metal, iron. I was over at my brother Warren's, and he did something for me. And I was thinking about iron. I looked that up a little bit, thinking about the narrow way. Keep this in mind. Something has to happen at the narrow way. Something needs to happen. It's not free. In a metal smelting furnace, at least this is how some of it happens, not every steel mill, they take all this scrap iron and put it into a huge kettle. I mean, it's, I don't know, many, many tons. And they have these electrodes that go in there, and it's not like a big fire. And it's electrodes that cause a major burning and melt that stuff down. And in some places, what they do is they let it cool just a little bit, and it forms a ingot, is what they call it. It's like a big hunk of orange glowing metal. And they go over and they tip this pot upside down, and it's a big shape sitting there just like that. But it's round. It's just round, and it's not worth nothing. So what they do is they take this thing, and they take it through these big press. It's like a big hammer press, actually. They put this round thing in there, and this press goes like this. They move it forward, and the press goes again. And they keep doing this until there's a flat side on both sides of that thing. And they'll flip it over and do the other side until they get that thing square. And they keep smashing it down. And it's all the while, it's just glowing hot. But something needs to happen to that ingot, that hunk of glowing metal, before it's worth anything to anyone. So it is at the narrow gate. Something needs to happen at the entrance of that gate. And I believe, and again, I may repeat myself here. I don't have this written, do I? Wow. But what I think is the new birth. Is the gate the new birth? Could it be? It's the entrance into life. You know, it's where something happens. And today, again, it seems like that beautiful, holy standard of the new birth, of what happens, repentance, and the new life, evidence of a new life. You know, it seems like it can be questioned. You know, 95% of the people you go talk to are all Christians. It's questioning. I'm not questioning that. But Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And you know, and I read this too, the narrow way, it seems to be narrow, and it is narrow, and there's challenges, there's struggles that we face, but all that stuff is for a purpose, just like that big hunk of iron. It's all for a purpose. It's for that end product, to where if you need a piece of steel, you can go somewhere, you buy a nice piece of flat angle iron, perfectly straight, a lot of strength to it, but there's a lot had to happen to that piece of steel before you got it. And in other words, on the way, the narrow way, when we're walking, a lot of things need to happen. I believe that's why the way is narrow, and there's challenges, that God is forming us. He's shaping us, and for that end, that perfect man. And no, we probably won't be perfect until we cross the other side. But he's forming us. He's shaping us. And as the way goes, I read this in a commentary, as the way goes, it's seemingly very narrow, but as you mature and our wills become broken and submissive to his will, the way is not narrow. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful way. So let's keep that in mind. Okay, broad is the way and narrow is the way. So we talked about wide gate and straight gate, broad way, narrow way. We was kind of just talking about the entrance of these two gates, but now we'll talk about the way a little bit. Like, you know, the way. These two points become a little practical. The broad way is accommodating to all. The sinner who lives in open profanity, he's fine. And the sinner who lives in secluded hypocrisy, he's okay there too. Both of them. From those two extremes, the way is broad, but the end is death. And all in between those two, in between those two realms. There's no matter how we live. Okay, and where the challenge is the greatest, that on that road there can be divided hearts on the broad road. Yea, even hearts that profess Christ by mouth, but in their lives they deny him. And I was just sitting there reading that, and I thought, Lord, help us to be true, God-fearing, totally clear, 100% clear, and honest people before God. That we have, Lord, help us to deal with our hypocrisy. I pray that in my own heart, because it's something we can do in our own mind and without others seeing. And that's very deceptive. And I just pray, God, help us to be honest in all things, everything. And as I do some auto repair work there and at home, and I realize why some mechanics can become very distrustful. It's because you could take advantage of someone, no problem. Because many people don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, well, if it needs that, yeah, sure. You know, put it on. And just to be totally honest in everything we do. That's my heart. I pray that God would help me. Mark. Mark chapter 7. This is again talking about the broad way. About those... and these words might sound strong. I don't know. But, you know, the truth is that it has been this way from ages past until today. People that profess to know the Lord, but in works they deny him. It's an old story. It's been here. But let's not do that. I just pray we could. And we need each other to help each other be clear and be honest and be truthful and walk on the straight and narrow way. We can't do it alone. I can't. I cannot. Mark chapter 7. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I remember the first time I read those verses. I was just freshly, you know, born again, whatever, and I immediately applied that to our people, just like that. That was the first application, you know. And I'm not saying that that's not the case. There is some of that. But as we grow, sadly, professing Christians, it's many, many that go to church and profess Jesus with their mouth, but in works, there is no evidence. There is no evidence. You could never see that they're a Christian. And I know that it's about the heart, but I believe a true born-again believing Christian is one that has a heart that is brand new and changed, but it's manifested outwardly. It needs to be. If there's no outward evidence, we need to examine the inside. I'll say that very carefully, but I believe it's true. And you guys can hold me to that. Let's do that. It's a standard that's up here, but it's truth. And it will never change. Ezekiel 33, verse 31 and 32. And they came unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Ezekiel 30, and then the next verse. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. It's interesting. And as I read more, you know, the difference, I could be corrected here. I believe the difference is when you hear the word of God and you take it, and by the grace of God, you endeavor to apply. It may take all of our lifetime. It might take all of our life, but we keep applying the word of God. And that's the difference. In humility, I believe that's the difference. But if we see the word of God and we ignore this or that, we're missing something. And I believe it's probably one of the most critical points of the Christian life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Again, we read this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I just said this has been, and I already said it, this has been and still is a great epidemic amongst the people that profess God. Oh Lord, help us to be real. The narrow way requires faith, because on that way is pilgrims on a journey that at times is very difficult, trying and enduring. Yet with the eye of faith fixed upon the guiding Savior, these weary pilgrims press on, entrusting their souls to him who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you until the very end. That's my own words. Because it is written that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise. So keep going as a pilgrim. Don't turn back. Matthew Henry has a little quote that says, 1 hour in heaven will be worth all of that. And I think probably even less than an hour. The very glimpse of it. It's like it. Well, we'll keep going here. So press on, dear fellow pilgrim, ever watching and carefully living, that your lives may bless God and honor him. Remember that the entrance to this way was straight. Remember that. It's a straight way. It's a narrow way. If you enter in, be prepared for challenges. And I was thinking about that. I read a little story yesterday morning. How many of you heard of the book called Worth Remembering by Robert Stauffer? It's a little devotion, kind of devotional book. It's a good book. The very first chapter, it's called Worth Remembering. And I was blessed by that. It just put something in me again. It says that there's a man had five sons. This Robert's dad, obviously, had five sons. And they rented a farm all their life, and they farmed. They were not wealthy people. And it says it came a day they had an auction. They wanted to sell everything they had. And they went, and one neighbor was talking to his dad about, you know, after all these years, what do you have left? And his dad said, well, he has an X amount of dollars left over. He said, I don't have very much. He said, but I have my five sons. Oh. I don't ever hope to be rich in this life. I believe those things can be a snare. Money, wealth, riches, lots of possessions will cause more harm than anything else. I believe they'll cause more harm than anything else to me than to my children. I pray that God would help us. Help us to have that balance of, if you make money, give money. And I sought my heart with that just yesterday, the same thing. It's so easy to store it, put it somewhere to grow, you know, so I can have a income later on, you know. I don't believe. I just pray. I told my wife a while back, and this is my heart's cry, I don't want a lot of money. But I just pray that my family can go with me. My children can see Christ in us, that they can come behind us, they can pick up the burden. It's a burden because in this day it seems like there's many that begin on the journey. And as children get older, why, they make different choices than dad and mom did. What dad and mom believe is not that important anymore. But I was saying with that man there, he didn't have nothing left, but he had his five sons. And that's a picture of the narrow road. He didn't have a lot of money. He said they never bought a new tractor or a new vehicle, not one time. Their tractors weren't all the same color, you know. But they made a living. And he said dad had time to, you know, he had time to play basketball with us before we went in, you know. He had time to spend with us. He played games with us. That's a pilgrim. They don't have his roots too deep in this world. And he's moving on. It's kind of like a light at the end of the tunnel that you can vaguely see it, kind of like Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. It's like you can vaguely see it, and he was told to keep your eyes on that light, keep going, and as you come, the light will become brighter, I believe, beckoning us home. So press on. The pilgrim with his head bowed low, yet his eye of faith is ever upward. He continues on his journey, though slighted by many as strangers, poor, and a lowly lot. But undeterred, they continue on in humility. Point number four. Leadeth unto destruction, leadeth unto life. We talked about the gate, we talked about the way, and we're going to talk about the two ends right now a little bit. And I thought about, for some reason, I thought in the scriptures here that I should put this one after the few and many. But I thought, you know what, in the Bible it's not that way. It talks about this here and then it's about the few and many. So I always want to leave on a positive note. Okay, leadeth unto destruction. Leadeth to destruction, though at the beginning, the broad way, many things looked good and great. There was no restrictions, no guidance, just a good time ahead. But remember, and we already said this, but sin will eventually take its toll on the life and cause much heartache. It will happen. And sorrow. But the devil keeps the real end out of sight. It's not, you don't see it. And then I said, already said this, if the horrors of hell and the lake of fire would be shown to the people at the beginning of the broad way, perhaps many would not go. But there's deception. The devil is an enemy of all men, saved and unsaved. He wants to take as many as with him as possible. I said there's many, there perhaps some would not start and stay on. Now again, many of us were on that broad way as far as living in sin. But God reached down and redeemed us. That's the beautiful thing. There is hope. There's hope for, there's life. You know, the Lord can take somebody that's been on that road all of his life. But if he sincerely repented, you take him off and set him on the straight and narrow way. That's the business that God is in. Hell is real. It is a place where the broad road leads. A place of no returns and no exit signs. And I just thought of this, a sign at the gate of hell could very well say, destiny sealed forever. Destiny sealed forever. And that's sobering to me. I just can't. And again, I was thinking, like I said, about fire and iron and the amazing hot melting strength of fire that it melts that iron down. And makes it into a liquid where they can dump it out onto just, it's fire. And in hell, there's fire. There's fire. Psalm 37, verse 38 says, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off." Romans 6, 21, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Matthew 25, verse 41. "Then shall Jesus," it's like Jesus say, "then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, and I might repeat this again. Maybe you heard me say it. As a little boy, I remember my dad read, he was reading in German, I don't know when this was, and that verse 14 there, I can't read it. Could you quote that in German, Floyd? "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." Can you quote that? "Porte ist eng and der Weg ist schmal." Whatever. Here we go. But I remember it says, "Es ist wenig, dass die ihn finden." And I remembered that, just that little word. There's a few that will find him, and it planted something in me. And I think what I mean to say by that is that it's okay to have a fear of God. It's okay to reverence him with an awe. I think that's another thing maybe that's departing from much of the church is a reverential and fear of the Lord. I think it's Matthew Henry says that thing alone that it says there that leadeth unto destruction, that should almost shake us to the core. It should bring us to our senses, all of us and the people around. But it don't. It just doesn't seem to. It just don't seem to. Few will find him. And we'll talk about that after a bit. And I just thought, oh, may the thought of this awful place of destruction cause all of us to walk with carefulness, reverence, and a holy fear of God and his son, Jesus Christ. And I just thought, and I wrote all in big capital letters there because it's for the believer, the saint. It's for the one that has said, I'm not ready. I don't think it's time. It's not for me. Well, it's for you too. I believe it should strike a chord in our hearts. Okay, we're going to turn the page again. Leadeth unto life. Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you life and more abundant life. Also, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." True life is only in Jesus. That's it. There is nothing else. On the narrow way that leads to life, those on it will endure much, will wrestle, will be in agony, will be watchful with great care and circumspection, but the end is life. And you think of the word casual, casualty. Casual is a word of casualties. And just like it doesn't really matter. I think my own heart first, and that was my prayer yesterday, is that I would walk carefully. Be careful. The little song the children said, sing, "Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Your little hands, what they do. Be careful." Could we say that to us as older people? I think we can. 100%. We need as much care, probably more than the innocent child does. Let us be careful. Though the way seems hard, the journey is uphill. The more we travel, the closer we get to the end. Heaven is as a lighthouse in a dark ocean, beckoning the weary and battle-worn pilgrim home to eternal life. I just wrote, oh, what joy and gladness. The toils and challenges of our earthly life will not even be a memory. They won't even be a memory. So let's live like we're not staying here. Let's live that way. And I just wrote, consider Noah, Moses, Joseph, Paul, the disciples, the martyrs. I'll read Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted for sheep as slaughter. This is Christians. This is the people, our brothers and sisters. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all these people before us, Noah suffered, Moses, Joseph suffered. If there was somebody that ever suffered wrongfully, Joseph did very much. But God was with that man. God was with him. Pharaoh said a quote, I'm going to say it in my own words, but where can we find a man who, in who the Spirit of God is like this? That's my own wording in Genesis somewhere. Even the heathen saw it. And the martyrs, you know, we come down through the ages, and even today, people are suffering. We don't, brother prayed in the prayer room there. I think maybe it was Sally, several brothers did. But we come here so unhindered. We are so free. We are so free that I think maybe it hinders me. You know what I mean? We have so much freedom, so much liberty, and it should be so much better. But sometimes I think those things can kind of just lull us to sleep, you know. America has been the breadbasket of the world for many years. I think. I heard somebody say that. I believe it to be true. But it may not always be that way. Okay, we'll switch gears again. Many there be that go in. Few there be that find it. This indicates that many will not choose the narrow way. Perhaps there are probably many more. It looks exciting, inviting, and appeals to the fleshly appetites. And besides this, the majority's on this way. You know, down here at 37, you know, if this was a broad way, this was a narrow way, and 95% of the people are going this way, you would become a fool to go the other way. You know, you would be accounted as very foolish. So it's like pressure. And I just wrote, and it is much easier to go with the flow than to go against it. It's, you know, water pressure, whatever, electrical current. You know, there's a pressure, there's a moving, you know, and it all wants to go one way. But when you go upstream, you go the other way, it's difficult. It's very difficult. The way is narrow, but God is with us. Matthew 22, verse 14 says this, for many are called, but few are chosen. Luke 13:24, we read that. Strive to enter into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Oh, I printed that twice, didn't I? That's okay. But I just wrote, there will be few compared to those on the broad road. Now, there's no numbers. Revelations talks of an innumerable company of people in heaven. Unnumberable. But again, you know, we don't know those numbers. There will be a few. I'll read this. Sorry. There will be few compared to those on the broad way that enter in and remain on the narrow way. Enter in and remain on the narrow way that leadeth to life. Let us not, and then I wrote this, let us not maximize few or minimize many. Because Jesus put those words were written there, and the truth is still the truth. Few and many. Let us be amongst the few. Let's take care, all of us. And then I already said this too, I am not trying to frighten someone in the kingdom, but I believe today that the fear of God is at an all-time low. It could very well. I heard that Brother David Ostplaw said that he remembers when He remembers the first time when they saw a tractor, a farmer out in the field on a Sunday, plowing, doing his work on a Sunday, and it was awful. Well, today, it's nothing, you know. And that's only one thing. There's the reverence and awe and fear of the Lord is diminished greatly, greatly. And it's because we have need of nothing many times. We don't. It's fine. You know, I'm a Christian, but, you know, sunshine today, let's go out and plant some corn. It's okay. But God don't look at it that way. And I'd like to read another portion of a commentary here that I thought was a blessing, just in conclusion a little bit. And this sort of, I saw this paragraph and I thought, you know, it sums up my heart for today. I would, after this, we're pretty well done. The great concern and duty of every one of us, in consideration of all this, what we just talked about, enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. The matter is fairly stated. Life and death, good and evil, are set before us. Both the ways, both the ends. Now let the matter be taken entire and considered impartially, and then choose you this day which you will walk in. Nay, the matter determines itself and will not admit of a debate. Now listen to this. It's a little bit, pay attention to these words. No man in his wits or in his what right mind would choose to go to the gallows because it is a smooth and pleasant way to it, nor refuse the offer of a palace and a throne because it is a rough and dirty way to it. Yet such absurdities as these are men guilty of in the concerns of their souls. Delay not, therefore, deliberate not any longer, but enter ye in at the straight gate, knock at it by sincere and constant prayers and end of endeavors, and it shall be opened. Nay, a wide door shall be opened, an effectual one. It is true that we can neither go in nor go on without the assistance of divine grace, but it is true that grace is freely offered and shall not be wanting to those that seek it and submit to it. Conversion is hard work, but it is needful, and blessed be God, it is not impossible if we strive. And then I just wrote this here. There are only two ways. Let us all strive to enter in and remain on the straight and narrow way that leadeth unto life. And God gives us strength to do it. It's not our own works. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And again, I want to open myself up. If something was said wrongly, unscripturally, please talk to me about it. Please pray for us. We covet your prayers.